Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Masjid Darul Salam, Toronto, Canada. Saturday after 19th, Tarawih, 27th of July, 2013. Allah's rahmah is on sale in Ramadan. Reduce eating, talking, and interactions to bring the taqwa in our life. How to perform itikaf. The bayan is presented by Mufti Ismail Kotwal Shahid Damat Barakatuhu.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidin Habib al-Mustafa. وعلى آله وأصحابه نجوم الهدى قال ذي التقى ما بعد قال الله عز وجل في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المعتكف ويعتكف الذنوب وَيَجْرِي مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَعَامِلِ الْحَسَنَاتِ كُلِّهَا أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما Respected elders and brothers, the month of Ramadan is moving very fast. The first 10 days came to an end, and the middle 10 days are also coming to an end now. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that the speciality of the first 10 days of Ramadan is rahmah. أَوَّلُهُ الرَّحْمَةِ The first 10 days are for rahmah. وَأَوْسَطُهُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ And the middle 10 days are special with the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this does not mean that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now come to an end. It does not mean that when these 10 days finish, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also finish. No, 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 no. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be forgiving. But what this means is that the first 10 days, rahmah is on sale. In the second 10 days, forgiveness is on sale. Like for example, when you go to Iqbal Foods, for example, if milk is on special, if milk is normally $5. I don't know how much milk is because my time has not come to buy milk yet. But let's say, for example, milk is $5 throughout the year, and in the month of Ramadan, Iqbal Food says that milk is for $4. So in the month of Ramadan, milk is on sale. The rest of the year you can get milk as well, but in the month of Ramadan, you can get milk cheaper. So the same way, in the first 10 days of Ramadan, on small acts of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy pours down. In the second 10 days of Ramadan, on small acts of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives His slaves. So before these 10 days of Ramadan finish, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to do those good acts which cause our forgiveness and which cause Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins. Ameen. Now my dear respected elders and brothers, the next 10 days of Ramadan are also going to come to a beginning now, inshallah, starting from Monday after Maghrib Salah. What is the speciality of these 10 days? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلِلَّهِ عُتَقَاءُ مِنَ النَّارِ In these 10 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on small good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees His slaves from the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do those acts which cause us to become freed from the fire of Jahannam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from among those who are freed from the fire of Jahannam. وَلِلَّهِ عُتَقَاءُ مِنَ النَّارِ Also on these 10 days, the speciality of these 10 days is that in these 10 days, there is a special day hidden. There's a special day hidden. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was always very, very worried about his ummah. How can my ummah be forgiven? How can my ummah be saved from the fire of hell? And how can my ummah get into Jannah? So you would think that the previous ummahs, they had very long lives. Some ummahs to 200 years, the people would live for 300 years, 400 years. The people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam would live for more than 1,000 years. So he would think to himself that these people had such long lives and they had so much time to do the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what would their rank be on the day of Qiyamah? And my ummah, they only live for 50, 60, 70, 80, most 100 years. So they have very less time to do ibadah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was very troubled, he was very worried. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayats in the Quran, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ We revealed this Quran on the night of Qadr. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ And what can tell you what is the state of the night of Qadr? What is the state of the night of power? Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. The status of the night of power is such that it is greater than 1,000 months. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. So in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these ayat in these verses of the Quran were revealed upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was satisfied. So this night of Laylatul Qadr is hidden within these 10 days of Ramadan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in another hadith, "Iltamisuha fil ashr al awakhir min Ramadan." That look for this night in the odd nights of the month of Ramadan. So on the 21st night, on the 23rd night, on the 25th night, on the 27th night, and the 29th night. A lot of us are under this misconception that Laylatul Qadr only happens on the 27th night. No, my dear respected elders and brothers, Laylatul Qadr, every year it can change. In 1 year it can come on the 21st, 1 year can come on the 25th, another year can come on the 27th, and 1 year can come on the 29th. So in this month, in the last 10 days, on these odd nights, every single one of these odd nights, we must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we must seek Laylatul Qadr so that we can get the reward of Laylatul Qadr. Now how can we maximize the rewards of Laylatul Qadr? The only way to do this is that on these odd nights, all the way from Maghrib Salah, all the way till Fajr Salah, every single second and every single moment we spend on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the only way a normal person can fully get and fully maximize the rewards of Laylatul Qadr. But there's also another way, an easier way. And what is that? That a person, he spends the last 10 nights of Ramadan in i'tikaf. A person spends the last 10 nights of Ramadan in i'tikaf. Why? Because when a person spends the last 10 nights of Ramadan in i'tikaf, every single second he is in the masjid, whether he is reciting Quran, whether he is performing salah, whether he is fulfilling his own needs, whether he goes to the toilet, whether he goes to make wudu, whether he is eating, whether he is sleeping, every single second, every single breath he takes, he's receiving reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a ghair mu'takif, a person who is not in i'tikaf, even if he was to spend the whole time from Maghrib to Fajr in worship, he will have to spend at least 1 or few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes to go relieve himself. He needs to spend 5, 10 minutes to eat food. He needs to sleep. He needs to take rest. So he cannot maximize the full reward of Laylatul Qadr. But a person who is sitting in i'tikaf, every single second he's in the masjid with the niyat of i'tikaf, he will be rewarded even though he's eating, even though he's sleeping. So the only way to maximize the full reward of Laylatul Qadr is a person who sits in i'tikaf. My dear respected elders and brothers, i'tikaf is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not only after he received prophethood, but even before he became a prophet. Before Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam received prophethood, when he used to live in Makkatul Mukarramah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for many days on end, he would climb the mountain of Hira, and he would perform i'tikaf in the cave of Hira. Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra, radiyallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala anha, she used to give him some food, she used to, you know, tie some food in for him, in a, you know, we call it in Gujarati tiffin, in a, you know, some sort of pot, and he would take that, and he would go in Ghar Hira, and he would sit there for many nights on the end, and he would contemplate into the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time there was no salah, there was no form of ibadah prescribed, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not received prophethood yet. So the Prophet ﷺ, for many weeks on end, until that food of his would finish, he would sit in Ghar Hira and he would contemplate over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even before the Prophet ﷺ received prophethood, the Prophet ﷺ would perform i'tikaf. And then after Prophet ﷺ received prophethood and the silsila of wahi started, even then Nabi Kareem ﷺ would perform i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan. In the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would perform i'tikaf in the first 10 nights of Ramadan. And then sometimes Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would perform i'tikaf in the second 10 nights of Ramadan. And sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would perform i'tikaf for the first 20 nights of Ramadan. And then when he received wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Laylatul Qadr is in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, then from then until Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed away, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would perform i'tikaf in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Only 2 times in between, he broke his i'tikaf, and because of that, the next year, he made up for that i'tikaf, and he performed i'tikaf for 20 days. Now what is i'tikaf? What is the ruh of i'tikaf? What is the reality of i'tikaf? I'tikaf means that a person, he leaves all his worldly engagements, he leaves all his worldly activities and responsibilities, and he comes into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he makes intention for the sunnah itikaf, that he will stay in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the full 10 days, and he will attach himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will leave everything else, all his worldly engagements he will leave. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will perform itikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan. I was saying that the essence of itikaf is a person, he leaves all his engagements and he leaves all his activities, and he completely isolates himself in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our mashayikh, they say that in order for a person to get his nafs and his desires under control, there are three things he must control. Number one, قِلَّةِ ta'am. That a person, he must control how much he eats. Number two, قِلَّةِ kalam. How much he speaks with people. And number three, قِلَّةُ الْإِخْتِلَاطِ مَعَ الْأَنَامِ. That how much a person engages with the creation and how much he interacts with other people. If a person, he brings these three things under control, how much he eats, how much he قِلَّةِ manam, how much he sleeps, and قِلَّةُ الْإِخْتِلَاطِ مَعَ الْأَنَامِ, and how much he interacts with the people, then a person's desires can come under control. And how can a person exercise these things? Then that's a topic on its own. But in i'tikaf, a person, he exercises this third thing. قِلَّةُ الْإِخْتِلَاطِ مَعَ الْأَنَامِ. He minimizes his interaction with all the makhluk, and he puts himself into solitude, and he busies himself in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in i'tikaf, a person, he exercises قِلَّةُ الْإِخْتِلَاطِ مَعَ الْأَنَامِ. Now, the ulama have written that when a person sits in i'tikaf, when a person sits in i'tikaf, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in the hadith, al-mu'takifu ya'takifu al-dhunub. That a mu'takif, he leaves out all the sins. He leaves out all the sins. Why? Because in qillatul ikhtilati ma'al anam, all the sins that a person commits, mostly, why does a person commit sin? When he engages with other people. If a person sits and converses with another person, he engages in a conversation with another person, that's when he will do ghibat. That's when he will backbite about someone else. When a person talks to someone else, that's when he will get into a fight with that person. He will start arguing with that person. He will swear with that person. When a person interacts with his friends, when he goes out with his friends, then his friends cause him to do guna. They cause him to do sins. They say, come on, let's go to the theater. Let's go over here. Let's go over there. And they cause him to do sin. So the majority of the sins that a person performs is when he is engaging with the people and when he's conversing with the people. So when a person sits in i'tikaf, he is free from communication with other people. So his sins, the sins that he commits, comes to a very minimum as well. That's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-mu'takifu wa ya'takifu al-dhunub. He leaves all sins completely. وَيَجْرِي مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَعَامِلِ الْحَسَنَاتِ كُلِّهَا. And those good deeds that he used to do when he was not in i'tikaf. So for example, a person, he's not sitting in i'tikaf, and normally throughout the whole year, he does good deeds. He visits those who are sick. He helps the needy people. He works the whole day from 9 to 5 so that he can earn for his family. These are all good deeds that a person does. But when a person is sitting in i'tikaf, he cannot do those good deeds. What did Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says? وَيَجْرِي مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَعَامِلِ الْحَسَنَاتِ كُلِّهَا. That those good deeds that a person would do when he was not in i'tikaf, even when he's sitting in the house of Allah, when he's sitting in i'tikaf, those good deeds are written in his book. وَيَجْرِي مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَعَامِلِ الْحَسَنَاتِ كُلِّهَا. Now when a person does sit in i'tikaf, what should a person do? What should he busy himself in? So number one, the best thing that a person can engage himself is in the tilawat of the Holy Qur'an. Yesterday, we spoke about the Holy Qur'an and the importance of attaching oneself to the Holy Qur'an. A person, he should spend as much time as he can reciting the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And upon every single letter he recites, he will receive 10 rewards. A person should try and recite 10 paras, 20 paras, 30 paras. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, in the month of Ramadan, throughout the whole year he used to recite Quran frequently, but in the month of Ramadan, he would recite one Quran every day, and in the last 10 days he would recite even 1.5 Qurans. All our Akabin, Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi, they would all recite a minimum of 15 paras every day in the month of Ramadan. The family of Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi, the women, they would compete with each other how much Quran they could recite. So when we're sitting in i'tikaf, as much time as we can, we spend with the Holy Qur'an. And apart from reciting the Holy Qur'an, the Arabic, we should also take out a certain amount of time that we take a mu'tabar. Mu'tabar meaning a trustworthy translation of the Holy Quran. And we also read the translation of the Holy Quran, the last few parahs, the surahs that we normally recite in salah. We should ponder over the meaning and the translation of those ayat. We should not try and take out any ruling from the Holy Quran. We should not try and take out any ruling. That is the job of the ulama, the fuqaha, those people who have studied in the madaris for 7-8 years. Only they have the right to take out masail from the Holy Quran. But a layman, a normal people, they should not try to take out rulings from the Quran and from hadith. That is the job of the fuqaha. But we can ponder over the meaning and we can try and understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say to us. So, number one, reciting the Holy Quran. Number two, reciting the translation of the Holy Quran. And number three, we should all try and take out time to memorize the Holy Quran. Maybe not the whole Quran, but remember, first starting from the last 10 surahs, after we finish the last 10 surahs, then from Wadduha till the end, after we finish from there, then maybe the whole Amma, after Amma Sipara, we try to memorize Yasin, after we memorize Yasin, we try to memorize Surah Waqi'ah, if you memorize Surah Waqi'ah, read Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi, and memorize these ayat, because these surahs hold a great virtue behind it. And when we are, the whole day we are sitting in the masjid, is a very great opportunity for us to memorize the Holy Quran. And these surahs, we can not only recite them outside of salah, but we can also recite them inside salah. Because when you recite the Quran inside salah, the reward increases than when you recite Quran outside salah. So, number one, reciting Quran, reciting the translation of the Quran, and number three, trying to memorize a portion of the Holy Quran. Okay. Besides the Quran, what can we do? Besides the Quran, we busy ourselves in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single person, whether he's a mu'takif or whether he's not a mu'takif, he should have a daily wazifa, a daily amount of dhikr that he performs every day. And our mashayikh, they prescribe for a normal person, at least every day after Fajr Salah, and after Salah, they should perform four tasbihat. Four tasbihat meaning, 100 times, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. 100 times, third kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And then number three, istighfar. 100 times, astaghfar. Short istighfar, astaghfirullah rabbi, allahumma gfirli, and four times, durood sharif. Fourth one, 100 times, durood sharif. These four are those dhikrs and those remembrances of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that every person should do, whether he is a mu'takif or whether he is not a mu'takif. And reciting Durood Sharif is also very important. When we recite Durood Sharif, then we attract the ruhaniyat and the tawajjuh and the attention of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and our whole entire day is blessed. So, tilawat of the Quran, translation of the Quran, memorizing the Holy Quran, and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only restrict yourself to these four tasbihat, besides these tasbihat, as much time as we can spend in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should spend in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we should also take out a certain amount of time where we may supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever language you want. If you want to make dua in Arabic, we make dua in Arabic. The best duas are those duas that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, because those duas came directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever duas Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his ummah, they were directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were the most complete du'as, and those du'as are accepted more than those du'as that we make in our own tongues, in our own language. But also, apart from the du'as, are also permissible that we make du'a, we express our desires to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in English, in Urdu, in whatever language we know. And if you want a compilation of du'as which are from Quran and from Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, he's compiled a very nice collection called Munajate Maqbool. And he's separated all the du'as into different days. So he has a chapter for Monday, a chapter for Tuesday, a chapter for Wednesday. So if a person, he gets that munajat maqbool, the Arabic du'a is there, the translation of the du'a in Urdu is there, the translation can also be found in the English language, then a person, he can make a habit that every day he recites one chapter of munajat maqbool. Also, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi Ali, Al-Hizbul A'zam. Al-Hizbul A'zam is also a nice, very nice collection of du'as that are from the Quran, from the Hadith. A person, those are also separated into chapters for every single day. A person can make a habit, inshallah, to perform those du'as. Besides this, those ijtimai amal that take place inside the masjid. If a scholar comes from outside and a scholar is giving a lecture, then also participate in that lecture. Because a scholar, he spent so many days, so many years in the madaris, he's taken ilm from so many different mashayikh, so many different scholars. So what that scholar can give us in 15, 20 minutes and half an hour, we cannot get from our own research and from our own reading. So whatever ijtimai amal take place in the masjid, we also take part inside those amal. And then, whatever good deeds we can do, reading the books of hadith, the commentary of the hadith, reading stories of our awliya and the pious predecessors, and any good deed that we can do, inshallah, we make ourselves busy, inshallah, our reward will be called multiplied because we are in i'tikaf. And another thing that we should take into consideration is that when we're sitting in i'tikaf, we should not give taklif to anybody. Those brothers who are sitting in i'tikaf, they should have a mutual understanding amongst each other, and they should not fight and quarrel over small things. If someone, one brother wants more space, then give him that amount of space. If one person is snoring, and another brother cannot sleep because of that snoring, move somewhere else. And if you have to sleep over there, then do sabr, do tahammul, practice patience for 10 days. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you so much. But if over small, petty things, we give taklif to our Muslim brothers, and we quarrel, and we fight, and we argue, then the whole spirit of our i'tikaf, and our whole i'tikaf is wasted. You know, now every day we get airlines that move your car. We received a complaint recently that people are scratching people's cars outside. Na'udhu billah, my dear respected elders and brothers, this is not from the akhlaq and this is not from the character of a Muslim. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisani wa yadi. That a true Muslim is that person from whose hands and from whose tongue other Muslims are safe. So if we are giving taklif to our Muslim brothers and sisters, my dear respected elder brothers, this is not the shan of a Muslim, and this is not the character and the manners of a Muslim. So, every single mu'taqif, he should have a mutual understanding with those people who are near him, and they should not quarrel, they should not fight over small things. Now this was the spiritual side of i'tikaf, and this was the essence and the reality of i'tikaf. Now, every form of ibadah has one spiritual side, and has one fiqhi side. And the same way i'tikaf also has some special rulings and some masail which are attached to it. So the fiqhi aspect of i'tikaf is that i'tikaf is sunnate mu'akkada alal kifaya. Sunnate mu'akkada alal kifaya means it is a very emphasized sunnah. It was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alal kifaya means that it is compulsory in every single locality that at least one person or two people from the entire locality sit in i'tikaf. If from the entire locality, not one person sits in i'tikaf, then the entire locality will become sinful. Hatta ke the fuqaha have written that if a person from your own locality is not sitting inside i'tikaf, then the people of that locality should go to another neighborhood and they should find somebody else who can come from another neighborhood and should sit in that masjid for i'tikaf. And this way, the burden will be uplifted from the entire community. So, i'tikaf is sunnati mu'akkada alal kifaya. Now what is i'tikaf? When a person comes, sunnah i'tikaf. There are two types of i'tikaf. One is sunnah i'tikaf, and right now I want to discuss sunnah i'tikaf. Sunnah i'tikaf means that a person from the 20th fast, before Maghrib Salah, he comes inside the house of Allah, inside the boundaries of the masjid, and he does niyyah. Niyyah doesn't mean that he has to say from his tongue, but he knows inside his heart that I'm sitting in i'tikaf for the last 10 days of Ramadan for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has to be done before sunset. Because if a person, even for 1 or 2 seconds, comes in the masjid after sunset and makes his niyyah, then the sunnah i'tikaf is now invalid. He cannot perform sunnah i'tikaf. Now if he wants to perform i'tikaf, he has to make nafil i'tikaf. And the condition for i'tikaf is that a person also fasts. Without a fast, a person cannot perform a sunnah i'tikaf. So if someone, he is ill for some reason and he cannot fast, then that person cannot perform sunnah i'tikaf. He can perform nafil i'tikaf. Similarly, if a person was fasting, but for some reason he broke his fast, then also his sunnah i'tikaf will become invalid, and now he will have to make qadha. So, if a person wants to keep sunnah i'tikaf, then throughout those 10 days, he must also fast along with his i'tikaf. Acha. Now, when a person comes inside the masjid, he is not allowed to leave the boundaries of the masjid, except for a few certain necessities. Number one, if a person has to go out to relieve himself, a person can go out to use the toilet, a person can go out to use the bathroom. When a person goes out, if he has to wait in line for the bathroom, that is also fine. He can sit there, he can wait there until the bathroom is free, and then he can use the toilet. Number two, if a person has to make wudu, to recite Quran, to perform salah, then he can also leave the masjid to perform wudu. If a person already has wudu, and he wants to make wudu again. For example, a person, he made wudu to recite the Holy Quran, and now it is time for Asr Salah, but he already has wudu, so it is not necessary for him to perform wudu again. So it is not permissible for him to leave the house of Allah to go make wudu again, because he already has wudu. Number three, if a person has the need to go for ghusl, something happens at night time and a person has to go for ghusl, so a person has to leave the masjid immediately. If a person can perform tayammum inside the masjid, if there's something available, some sort of stone or on the wall, he can make tayammum, then right away he should make tayammum, and then he should leave the masjid right away and he should go perform ghusl. Same thing again, if there's a line to perform ghusl, then he can stand in line. Achha. Number four, to eat and drink. But this is only when there is no one available who can bring the food and drink to him. Alhamdulillah, in our masjid, we have the intizam for people who bring our iftar for us, they bring our sahri for us. So when we have people who have done this intizam for us, and they bring food and drink for us from outside, then it is not permissible for a person to leave the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go for food and drink. And if a person does leave the house of Allah without necessity, then his sunnah i'tikaf will also break and will become invalid. Now, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masjid, does not refer to the entire building. But the masjid refers to only that part which has been designated for the prayers, which in our masjid is from in front of these glass doors. So if a person leaves these glass doors without necessity, then a person's i'tikaf will become broken and invalid. Can a person leave the masjid to perform the ghusl of Jummah? So the answer to this, my respected elders and brothers, is that no. A person cannot leave because the ghusl of Jummah is only sunnah. And it's not necessary. A person's Jummah, a person's ibadah will become accepted without performing the ghusl of Jummah. So a person is not allowed to leave the masjid to perform the ghusl of Jummah also. What if a person has the habit of smoking and needs to leave the house of Allah for smoking? So number one, a person shouldn't be smoking. Smoking is haram. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, do not destroy yourselves with your own actions. Don't destroy yourselves with your own actions. And all the research shows that smoking, it leads to cancer, it leads to lung disease, it leads to this, it leads to that. So that's 100% the research is done that smoking is haram. It is not permissible for a person to smoke. But if a person does have a habit of smoking, and he needs to leave the masjid to smoke, then the ulama have written that if his addiction is so bad, that if he doesn't smoke, then, you know, he will get a headache and his whole system will go up and down and he will get into trouble, he will give takleef to the people next to him, then for the duration, the minimum amount that he has to go outside to smoke, he can smoke and he can come back into the masjid. Now when a person goes out to fulfill these necessities of his, if he goes out to perform wudu, if he goes out to perform ghusl, if he goes out for any of his necessities, then on the way, if he does anything unnecessary, so for example, if he stops to speak to somebody, then even then his i'tikaf will become broken. But if a person, while he's going to the wuzu khana, while he's coming back, whilst he's walking, if he speaks to anybody, he doesn't stop to speak to him, but whilst he's walking, he speaks to that person, then a person's i'tikaf will still be intact. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would leave Masjid al-Nabawi to go home to perform ghusl, because obviously in those days, there's no intizam to perform ghusl within the masjid. So when he would go home on the way back, if there was someone who needed something on the way, then whilst he would walk, he would do iyadat of mariz, he would visit a sick person, not visit a sick person, but he would, you know, give dua to that sick person, but he would not go out of his way, he would not change his direction to visit that sick person, or he would not change his direction to fulfill anyone's needs. So if a person, whilst he's walking back and forth, without changing his direction, without stopping for that person, and he speaks to that person, then his i'tikaf will still be valid. But if he stops to speak to anybody, then his i'tikaf will also be invalid, and he will have to make up for that i'tikaf. Now what happens if someone needs to break his i'tikaf? Number one, it is not valid to break your i'tikaf for any small reason, but if there is a major reason, if someone became very ill, very sick, he needed to go to the hospital, or there was some emergency at home, or there was an emergency at work, that he has to leave the masjid, then he can break his i'tikaf, and he will not be sinful for breaking his i'tikaf. And now because of breaking the i'tikaf, he will have to perform qadha. Does he have to perform qadha for the full 10 days? No. Only that day he broke, for example, a person was in i'tikaf for 3-4 days, and on the 5th day he broke his i'tikaf, then he will have to make up for the i'tikaf of that 5th day. This can be done anytime. It does not have to be done in the month of Ramadan. If it can be done in Ramadan, he can do it in Ramadan. And if he does it outside of Ramadan, he can also do that qadha outside of Ramadan as well. But it's obviously better that a person does it as soon as he can, because there's no bharosa and there's no bharosa of maut when a person can die. And if a person dies and that qadha is still in his book, then a person will have to give account for it on the day of qiyamah. So if a person does break his i'tikaf, then he should make up for that i'tikaf right away. So these were a few masail with regards to i'tikaf. If anyone has any questions, they can ask me right now, they can ask me later on, they can ask Maulana Muhammad, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those brothers who cannot do the sunnah i'tikaf, then they can perform nafil i'tikaf. In nafil i'tikaf, you do not have to fast. You can come inside the masjid whenever you want, any time of the day, for 1 minute, for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, for half an hour. And all you have to make niyyah is, oh Allah, however much time I'm staying inside the masjid, I make niyyah of i'tikaf. And inshallah, a person will be rewarded with the reward of nafil i'tikaf. And inshallah, whatever ibadah and whatever acts of worship he does, inshallah, the reward will also increase. And minimum a person, those people who have to go work, those people who have to go school, then on the 21st night, 23rd night, the odd nights of Ramadan, after Taraweeh, a person, he should spend the time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the niyat of i'tikaf. So inshallah, we can also get the full reward of Laylatul Qadr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to act upon wa wasil. Durr shaykh parni. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل، وجنبنا الفواحش والمعاصي والخطايا والزلل. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وقنا عذاب القبر، وقنا عذاب الحشر، وقنا عذاب الفقر، وقنا عذاب الدين. احشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الأبرار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنك عفو رحيم كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا. نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا، نبوء لك بنعمك علينا ونبوء بذنوبنا، فاغفر لنا فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، وحسن أولئك رفيقا، غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا صالحا متقبلا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع، ونعوذ بك من قلب لا يخشع، ونعوذ بك من دعاء لا يستجاب. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان، اللهم زينه في قلوبنا، اللهم كره لنا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم تجاوز عن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله.